radha madhav jaya radha madhav radha madhav jaya radha madhav jaya kauranitai jaya kauranitai kauranitai jaya kauranitai jaya jaya prabhupad 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 Nitai Gaur Haribal, 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 Haribal Jang Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa Parikraja Gachar, Jastratara Sata Sushimar Abhaycharan Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Beauty Founder Acharya Divine Grace Lopu Pada Ki Ananta Kati Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Madhava Chasakya Vrinda Suman Mahaprabhu Ki Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki Nrisingha Deva Prahlad Maharaj Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Grantharaj Sumat Bhagavatam Ki Samaveta Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Ki Janitai Gaur Premananda All Glory to the Assembled Devotees All Glory to the Assembled Devotees All Glory to the Assembled Devotees All Glory to Shri Guru and Gauranga All Glory to Shri Lopu Pada ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुषुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंरूपगदामह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे वंशाकल्पतरूपश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरतिष्ठे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधवृन्दावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुतदेवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयो मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टप्रियः सो टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 27 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड अंडरस्टैंडिंग मटेरियल नेचर टेक्स्ट नंबर 22 ज्ञानेन दृष्ट तत्त्वेन वैराग्येन बलीयता तपोयुक्तेन योगेन तीव्रेण आत्मसमाधिना विथ एनन्सिएशन Baliyata, very strong. Tapo yuktena, by engagement in austerity. Togena, by mystic yoga. Tibrena, firmly fixed. Atma samadhina, by self-absorption. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. This devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge and with transcendental vision. One must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity and perform mystic yoga in order to be firmly fixed in self-absorption. Please repeat. This devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge and with transcendental vision. One must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity and perform mystic yoga in order to be firmly fixed in self-absorption. Purport. Devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be performed blindly due to material emotion or mental concoction. It is specifically mentioned here that one has to perform devotional service in full knowledge by visualizing the Absolute Truth. We can understand about the Absolute Truth by evolving transcendental knowledge, and the result of such transcendental knowledge will be manifested by renunciation. That renunciation is not temporary or artificial, but is very strong. It is said that development of Krishna consciousness is exhibited by proportionate material detachment or vairagya. If one does not separate himself from material enjoyment, it is to be understood that he is not advancing in Krishna consciousness. Renunciation in Krishna consciousness is so strong that it cannot be deviated by any attractive illusion. One has to perform devotional service in full tapasya or austerity. One should fast on the two Ekadasi days which fall on the 11th day of the waxing and waning moon, and on the birthdays of Lord Krishna, Lord Rama and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many such fasting days. Ogena means by controlling the senses and mind. Yoga Indriya Sama Sangyamya. Yogena implies that one is seriously absorbed in the self and is able, by development of knowledge, to understand his constitutional position in relationship with the super self. In this way, one becomes fixed in devotional service and his faith cannot be shaken by any material allurement. Mukam Kurati Bhashalam, Pangur Langhai, Giring Jatkupatamaham Bande, Chikurina Tarinam, Paramananda Madhavam, Chaitanya Sharam, Namang Vishnu Padai, Krishna Pishtai, Putale, Samata Jayapataka, Swami Tiramine, Namasharya Padani, Kaikupar Padai, Nigore Kutamadai, Nagaramatari. So in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, in response to the question raised by Mother Devahuti, Kapila Muni is answering her questions. So he started his discussion from the yesterday's verse. So today is the second verse spoken by Kapila Muni, and he is talking about devotional service. So here, in today's verse, Kapila Muni is explaining that devotional service has to be performed with knowledge and with detachment. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, it explains that if we perform devotional service, two things are automatically manifested in the life of a devotee. It is mentioned that Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Jaga Prajita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanam Chajat Ahitukam. If one performs devotional service to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, detachment and knowledge is automatically manifested in this kind of devotee. So if we perform devotional service and at the same time we develop material attachment, and that attachment is not reduced, Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, that we are not advancing in Krishna consciousness. It cannot be that we perform devotional service at the same time material attachment also continues. Because the beauty of devotional service is, if one is firmly fixed in devotional service, naturally he develops knowledge and renunciation. So therefore, Prabhupada mentions here, devotional service is not a mental concoction or an emotion. It should be based on knowledge. Emotions has to be there, but that should be spiritual emotions based on knowledge. Not like some mental platform. Just emotional, mental, material emotions. Sometimes we perform like that. Especially in India, many people just render some service to God or some demigods out of sentiment. For sentiment that my forefathers have done it, so I am doing it. But they don't know why they are doing it. So that is sentiment. But here, Kapil Muni is explaining that devotional service should not be performed with that type of sentiment. It should be backed up with proper knowledge. And sometimes, while we perform devotional service, we think, oh, we are performing devotional service, that then we don't need any knowledge. It's the expression of the heart. So why there is a need of knowledge? It's the expression of love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is no need of knowledge, no need of studying sastra. So just render devotional service. So therefore there should be a balance. So if there is no need of spiritual knowledge, then why Srila Prabhupada took his most valuable time at night and translated Srimad Bhagavatam? So this knowledge is very, very important. That is the foundation. Because from knowledge we develop renunciation. Unless we have knowledge, we cannot cultivate renunciation. And we cannot develop attraction for Krishna. So therefore, here Kapil Muni is explaining that devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge. And one must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity. So austerity is a fundamental principle of devotional service. So what is austerity? Prabhupada is telling that taking voluntary pain of the body and mind to advance in Krishna consciousness. That is austerity. We have to go through physical pain. Anyway, we are going through physical pain given by material nature. But when we take that material pain as a part of our devotional practice, then that is favorable for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. While Rishabhadev is instructing his sons in 5th canto, the first instruction is giving Tapodibvam Putraka. So human life is not meant for sense enjoyment, human life is meant for tapasya, austerity. So therefore, my sons, involve yourself in austerity. Because the so-called sense gratifications, which the normal human beings are hankering for, that is available for the dogs and hogs, Rishabhadev is telling. Very strongly is pointing out. So therefore, human life is not meant for sense enjoyment. Human life is meant for tapasya. So why tapasya is needed, austerity is needed? To purify the heart. So while we discuss the austerity of Dhruva Maharaj, the level of tapasya he did, and by that tapasya in 6 months he could see Krishna face to face. But Prabhupada is telling that we cannot imitate that type of austerity in Kali Yuga. But we should have some basic standard of austerity. So in that purport, in the character of Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada is mentioning 3 tapasya. 3 austerities must be performed, basic, by the devotees in Krishna consciousness movement. He is telling we must strictly follow the 4 regulative principles. We chant very sincerely 16 rounds a day, and there is one more tapasya he mentioned, that first is 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, and take only Krishna Prasad. These are the three main austerities to be performed, basic, by the devotees of Krishna Consciousness Movement. And that is also very difficult for all of us. In the name of so-called spontaneous devotional service or in the name of preaching, we compromise in these principles. As soon as we go out, we have a tendency to eat outside food, right? Because we are in the... How we can survive? We don't get prasad, so better to take something, vegetarian food. So we compromise. Because we have weakness in our heart for material sense enjoyment. So therefore, Prabhupada is very particular, if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, these basic three austerities. Strictly following four regulative principles. That is also very difficult for the people in this age of Kali. And chanting 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, according to Mahaprabhu, those who don't chant 64 rounds, they are not human beings and he does not take prasad cooked by them. So that was the standard of Mahaprabhu and it was that was the standard of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And because the condition of the human beings in modern days is not at the level of human beings also. So therefore Prabhupada reduced it to 16 rounds. And that is minimum 16 rounds. Sometimes devotees say that is maximum 16 rounds. As soon as 16 rounds is finished, duty is over. I don't want to see the feedback till next day. So that is the condition of all of us. And he said, the 16 rounds should be chanted continuously at a stretch. That is the best. And in the morning hours. We don't follow that also. Whenever we get time, we just chant rounds. Because unless we chant rounds at a stretch, quality cannot be improved. That is the advantage of chanting at a stretch 16 rounds. So when you do that, then quality improves. And one Maharaj was telling, when you chant like 4 rounds, this is not rounds, this is squares. So this quality cannot be, there cannot be any quality in 3-4 rounds. So therefore we should chant at a stretch and at one place and best in the association of devotees. Because when you chant alone, we have a tendency to be relaxed. Right? And there is as soon as we just chant, talk, do some work, chant, at least if you cannot do 60 rounds at a stretch without talking, at least when you chant one round, that time also you should not talk. Very offensive. When you are in the process of finishing one round, in between if you talk, that is offense to the Holy Name. So we don't follow all this. We chant, talk, we do so many things. Yukta Vairagya. So we also do so many things together. So our chanting should be an exclusive service. But sometimes we do so many things with chanting. That's why you do Namaparad. Inattentive chanting is the root cause of all the 10 offenses. And therefore gradually if you do like that, slowly chanting will be very monotonous and there will not be any taste in chanting. Because inattentive chanting is the cause of all offenses. Therefore while we chant, we should be very attentive. And I was hearing a tape of Radhanath Maharaj, I mentioned in previous class also, that three qualities has to be maintained while chanting. First is, we should have the mood of humility. We should be humble. So Mahaprabhu is telling that Trinadapi Sunichena Tararapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That verse should be the necklace of the practicing devotee. That should be the mood while we chant the holy name. And while we chant, we should be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is very, very important because as soon as chanting time comes, we become very, when it will be finished. We are not so enthusiastic while we chant. But, oh, this is chanting time, we should be very enthusiastic. Just like prasadam time, we become very enthusiastic. But during chanting time, we should be very enthusiastic to chant. And we should, while we chant on the beads, each bead, while we cross, we should think that is the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very easy way to chant in an offense, in a offenseless way. So taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very important while we chant the holy name. So these three, if you practice that slowly, the quality of chanting can be improved. And what happens
the chanting should be done by sitting. It is mentioned that while we chant while sitting, that is chanting in the mode of goodness. While we chant by walking, it's mode of passion. And while we chant by lying down, is chanting in the mode of ignorance. So one boy was just sleeping, not sleeping, lying down and chanting. And his mother was asking, "Why you are chanting while lying down?" So he said that I have heard a story. So what's the story? So he said that if you chant by sitting, then Krishna hears your chanting by standing. Okay. So when you chant by standing, then Krishna hears your chanting by dancing. Okay. But while you chant by lying down, Krishna hears your chanting by sitting. So therefore I don't want to give any trouble to Krishna. That's why I'm chanting by lying down, so that Krishna can peacefully hear my chanting. So that's our tendency, because when you chant alone in a secluded place, we become relaxed. Something lying down, this and chanting quality becomes very low. So therefore it is very important to chant in the morning hours. And the chanting in the morning is also in the mode of goodness. And chanting during the daytime is in the mode of passion, and chanting in the evening. Some people say they regularly chant in the evening. And that chanting is a very low quality chanting. Those who try to finish their rounds in the evening is in the mode of ignorance. And if you continuously do like that, I don't think quality of the chanting can be improved. So therefore most of our rounds should be finished. If you cannot finish in the morning, some rounds can be chanted in the evening because of some emergency. But if that emergency becomes the regular habit and you chant all the rounds in the evening after whole work, whole day service is over, then last business is finishing the rounds. So then quality will be compromised, no doubt about that. Because chanting at night is in the mode of ignorance. Therefore all our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada always stressed, chanting should be done early in the morning, then quality of the chanting can be improved. So austerity, this is austerity, Kali Yuga austerity. And prasadam also is very difficult. That Prabhupada said that prasadam should be cooked by a devotee and should be offered to the deity, then it's prasad. But I don't know how much we follow that nowadays. I see very difficult. Practical is not practical. In the name of practicality, we compromise the basic standard. And I see many devotees, they just cook and take prasad. Not offered also. And we take vegetarian food. So I mean, see, I'm not talking about, it's my practical experience. In Mayapur it happens. So just cook, not offered to the deities or not offered to the whatever is there, either on the picture to the deities, should be offered, then it will be prasad, no? And some cases the prasadam is not cooked by devotees also. It's cooked by some outside people. And it should not be offered, offense to the Lord. So this thing we don't follow. Therefore purity is compromised. Because unless our eating habit is purified, our consciousness cannot be purified. It plays a very important role. What food you eat? Your eating tendency determines your consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada is very particular. One of the austerity is to take only prasadam. So that austerity, if you perform very sincerely, then slowly, slowly our attachment to food goes away. Because Mahaprabhu is telling that jiva lalasai je iti uti dhai krishna krishna dar parayan krishna nahi pai. If our tongue is attached to palatable foodstuff, he cannot attain Krishna. Very difficult. Because if you are attracted to food, then automatically other sensual desires automatically follow. Therefore, controlling the tongue, that's why Rupa Goswami is telling in Nectar of Instruction, Jiva Begum. It's very important to control the tongue. but very difficult in the name of prasadam, in the name of yukta vairagya. Prabhupada says for the first year you can eat as much as you can to purify your habit of eating, but that should not continue throughout your devotional practice. As soon as we see something, eat whatever, the eating so much. So as soon as you eat so much, then automatically this line, the belly and genital, is in the same line. If your tongue is not controlled, you cannot control your senses. So therefore, controlling the food habit is very, very important in our devotional practice. That is the tapasya Prabhupada is mentioning for the devotees in Krishna consciousness movement. But we take it very easy and we think why we are not advancing in Krishna consciousness. Because we are not following the basic standards of austerity. We don't chant properly in the morning, we don't control our tongue in eating habits, and also we are not careful about following the regulative principles. And here also Prabhupada is adding some more tapasya, fasting on some particular days, like Ekadasi. Ekadasi day is called Bhakti Jana, is the mother of devotion. So it gives birth to pure devotional service if you perform Ekadasi very nicely, with sincerity. Generally previously it was a practice that full fasting, that was the standard. But Prabhupada has reduced that standard also, that at least if you cannot fast fully, eat only once. So nowadays we see that just like other day, we eat also three times. Solid breakfast, solid lunch, solid dinner. And we have also, by the mercy of so many devotees, we don't feel also there is Ekadasi. We have Ekadasi rice, we have Ekadasi pizza, we have Ekadasi cake, we have everything. And we don't miss anything. That is okay. But Prabhupada is telling that's the tapasya. Ekadasi day should not be focused on eating. So then what is the point of Ekadasi? So Prabhupada said no fasting from grains, we follow very strictly that. But that is not the concept. Concept is that 14 days you are eating 3 times, you are focused in eating, so that day instead of focusing on eating, focus on chanting and hearing. That is the purpose. It's not that we don't eat grains, that's why eat whatever you can and as much as you can. And they drink cold drinks also on Ekadasi days. Because that's not grain, eat cold drinks, no problem. So we compromise. So Prabhupada is telling that Ekadasi day should be the day of tapasya. We take some physical austerity, take some pain, because that purifies our existence. Tapo dipam putraka. Unless we perform austerity, our existence cannot be purified. So therefore very important Prabhupada is telling. And also fasting on Janmashtami, fasting on Gaur Purnima, fasting on Ram Namami. So that should be properly, you should fast properly, taking the pain. So then Krishna will be pleased, and slowly we can advance in our Krishna consciousness. But our problem is that we perform devotional service, at the same time we want to keep our desire of enjoying this world at the same time. That's why it's very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. And there is a story that there is a beggar. He was a poor man. He was starving, not getting any food, and he was going through a lot of stomach pain. And he saw a temple, and he entered into the temple, and in temple there are some pillars. So he embraced the pillar. And by the pressure of the pillar, that stomach pain reduced. Because if you put some pressure on the stomach, when you are going through stomach pain, generally that reduces. So he was embracing very strongly, and that stomach pain reduced. So then one pujari saw that man is starving, so better to give some prasad. So he went to that man and wanted to give prasad. So he said, okay, come, take prasad. He said, no, I cannot give up this embracing, because I am getting a relief of my pain. So if you want to give prasad, give like this. So he takes prasad but cannot eat, because he doesn't want to give up the pillar. So it happens to all of us also. So we want pleasure. Real pleasure comes from Krishna consciousness. But we want to grab on some sensual pleasure of this world. At the same time we want Krishna consciousness also, like pillar. We are holding the pillar, at the same time we want Krishna consciousness. How it can happen? You have to give up the pillar, then you can get prasad, no? But we want to keep the pillar also, at the same time we want to eat prasad. It doesn't happen. It doesn't go together. So Prabhupada says, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. It cannot go together, because it's opposite direction. So but we want to keep sense gratification at the same time Krishna consciousness, just like holding the pillar. So you will not get. Krishna consciousness cannot be available. So if you want to get Krishna consciousness, then you have to give up the concept of sense gratification in this world. And Prabhupada says, what is material desire? Very clearly says in Nectar of Devotion, he says, any desire other than the service of the Lord is material desire. If we have any desire other than the desire to serve the Lord, that is material desire. And Rupa Goswami says, anna vilasita sunyam. So we can have only, we can have some material desire allowed by Rupa Goswami. What is that desire? Prabhupada is mentioning, we can eat to keep the body and soul together, and you can evacuate and you can clean your body. That's it. That is the level of sense gratification allowed as per Rupa Goswami if you enter into pure devotional service. That's standard of Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada is strongly pointing out that. So that is the level, we are Rupanugas. We are following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So that's the standard of Rupa Goswami. At least slowly, slowly you should come to that level. Otherwise how we can expect that we will attain love of God? Sometimes we are performing sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti doesn't mean that we should have material desire. Prabhupada said there are two kinds of pure devotees. Those who have already achieved pure level, and those who sincerely want to achieve that pure level. They don't have any other desire. They are also pure devotees. So those who are sadhana bhaktas, according to Rupa Goswami, those who do not have any other desire other than the desire to serve the Lord, they are sadhana bhaktas. They may have some desires within the heart, but they really sincerely want to give it up. That is the level of pure devotional service. If you want to I want to do this service, at the same time I want to continue this sense gratification also. No. It's not allowed by Rupa Goswami. And then you cannot achieve Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, you'll go to somewhere else. You'll get the result of Karma Mishra Bhakti, and you'll go to the heavenly planets and higher planetary systems. So therefore, what we want, the desire, is very, very important, and that will determine our destiny. That's why he says, Krishnendriya Priti Bancha Dhare Premana. So what is love? Love is not that if you get love, Krishna will be standing, you shake hand, embrace Krishna. It's not like that. Mahaprabhu is telling, Atmendriya Priti Bancha Tare Vale Kam, Krishnendriya Priti Bancha Dhare Premana. What is my desire? So when we desire to enjoy our senses, that is called lust. When we develop the desire to please Krishna, that is prem, that is love. So what is love? Krishnendriya Priti Bancha. So when our desire is completely focused for the pleasure of the senses of Krishna, that is love of God. So then at that level, we engage our body, we engage our mind, we engage our senses exclusively in the service of Krishna for His pleasure. And Prabhupada is telling, in the mind he always thinks of Krishna, in the words he always talks about Krishna, and with his body he is always engaged in his devotional service, as given by the spiritual master and spiritual authorities. And that is the symptom of a pure devotee of Krishna who is in the level of Prema Bhakti. Simple. But it's very difficult to achieve, because we have that embracing tendency, embracing the pillar of so-called material happiness, material sense enjoyment. It's very difficult to give it up, because we think that is the source of pleasure, because we have that temporary relief. There is no happiness in this world. It's just reduction of unhappiness. Sometimes we get some relief from the unhappiness, we think that is happiness. Just like, he's not getting relief from the stomach pain, just temporary some adjustments, but he is thinking, I cannot give it up, because if I give it up, then stomach pain will continue. But he doesn't know, as soon as he eats that food, the stomach pain will be cured permanently. But we have a problem that we don't want to give it up, because I don't want to give it up. That pain That is the call of tapasya. What is tapasya? There is a pain of so many years, lifetimes, attachment to give it up. That is called pain of renunciation. But Prabhupada is telling you, you have to give it up at the time of death. Krishna will come in the form of death and take it away. So that time pain is very difficult. So why not take that pain before you die? Then Krishna will come in Krishna form. Otherwise he will come in the form of death and say, snatch away for your attachment. And that time there will be very difficult pain. And according to Purana, the pain we go through, those who are having material attachment, is like the 42,000 scorpion bites. Very difficult to go through that pain. So anyway you have to go through pain. So why not learn to go through that pain while we are alive? And when we do that, when that pain is tolerated, then slowly we get the mercy of Krishna, and then we can be in the ecstasy. And according to Rupa Goswami, those who render pure devotional service, they are always absorbed. And it's like ocean, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's like nectar, ocean of nectar. So pure devotees are always absorbed in the nectar. And they are so deep that that cycle of birth and death cannot touch them. It's called fisherman's net, cannot touch those kind of, Prabhupada is telling, those kind of fish. It's called shark. Pure devotees, Prabhupada is comparing as sharks in the ocean. And they stay very deep in the ocean and no fisherman can catch it. So when the pure devotees are like sharks, they absorb so much in the ocean of pure devotional service, the laws of material nature, the allurement of material happiness, the cycle of birth and death cannot touch those devotees because they are so deep in the absorption of pure devotional service. So that is the only way to get free of the pain of this material existence and absorb ourselves in ecstasy. So Kapil Muni is explaining that, and that can be possible when we go through the pain of renunciation and austerity as a sadhaka, as a practicing devotee. Unless we practice that, we cannot enter into the ocean of pure devotional service as given by Rupa Goswami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any question? 2 minutes are there.